Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 144 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. Once again, you have, well, me. So, good evening, I'm Al, and I'm joined by Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. It is, kind of a fun one. I think this is as close to Christmas as we've ever recorded an episode. This is like episode 335 of all the content we do, including the Patreon stuff. Last show of season 3. Very exciting.
It is. We've come a long way since our humble beginnings back in whenever it was we started this many years ago now. Last show of the year. Technically, we're going to try and squeeze in a few extra recordings between now and the end of the year. There will obviously be the aforementioned awards show. We'll try and record that. There's a couple of extra shows we need to do for the patrons. We need to do a roundup or a prequel. I think a prequel. And a couple of last calls, which is basically, well, us just sitting in the pub, but without the pub, but talking nonsense about whatever we want to talk about, frankly. It's basically a vanity show episode, isn't it? That's all last call is.
Whether it's Xbox, movies, Star Trek, anything can go on last call. And quickly mentioning about the awards, we love getting your opinions for it because sadly we are not geniuses and we can't decide definitively what the best game is, but through a collage of voting we can get to the decisive what is the best game of 2021 / a variety of other categories. So do please head over to nsukp.co.uk/awards. You can also find a link to that on our Twitter and Facebook NSUK podcasts. It should only take 2 minutes, very quick, and we do not collect any personal information such as email addresses, so we'd love to get your opinion for that award show that we'll be doing very shortly.
Indeed, Anton has spent quite a bit of time, I have to say, putting all these different things together, and I have to say it's a lot harder to come up with the games for these categories than you might think. Because, you mean, every week we sit down at these microphones and we talk about a whole slew of games that are announced, released, coming out, that have bombed, that have been successes, that have had patches. So you'd think we should remember them all. But actually, it's amazing how much they blur into one. So Anton spent, I don't know how long, a very long time putting together a list of games in all these different categories: best game of the year, best sound, best narrative, all this kind of stuff. And then he asked me and Mike, can you just cast your eye over it and see? And every so often you look at it and go, that's missing. And then you go and Google it and go, actually no, that came out 2 years ago. Oh, what about that one? That was really good. Oh no, that was last year. And it's remarkably hard to come up with games of the year. Not an easy thing to do. So we very much appreciate your feedback and input, and I appreciate, Anton, your time and effort for making the thing in the first place.
Why, thank you. It's quite funny, you know, even through like a couple steps of validation, it was putting it out and it was like, oh, you forgot this one. I'm like, of course. And then something gets added. Constantly going. We'd love to get your final votes, the final opinions, and it'll be interesting. There's one or two reigning champs from former years that I'm curious to see how they do this year.
Ooh, indeed. So just in case anyone wasn't paying attention, nsukp.co.uk/awards. Is that right?
Indeed. Perfectly put. And yeah, what have you been playing this week, Al?
Well, it will come as no surprise to you to learn that I have been playing more Grand Theft Auto Vice City. And I'm still really enjoying it. It's such a good game. It may still have the occasional frame rate issue, but I don't care. I'm enjoying it too much. It's just fun. That said, I haven't really had a chance to do that much gaming this week. I did actually play a little bit of Xbox. I'm not going to go into that because this isn't an Xbox show, so I'm not going to talk about it in the slightest. I might mention it in the last call. We'll see. What about you?
I have been a heretic as per usual, it seems like, these days. However, I did squeeze in a little bit more of Sonic 2 on the Sega Mega Drive online service. I love that game. It never gets old, even though it's incredibly old now.
Have you completed it yet?
No, I started a new save because I didn't get the Chaos Emeralds on the first run. So I'm, moral of the story, not very good, even though it's incredibly old.
to be fair, the old games are brutally hard. We have talked about this many times in the show. When you go back with your nice rose-tinted glasses and think, oh, I love these games, they were so much fun, and try and play them again, all you do is spend several hours getting very, very frustrated at yourself for trying to get through a ridiculously difficult game and failing miserably.
Yeah, that is the moral of the story. It's amazing. No matter how many times I've done it, it's chemical plant bit. And it's not even like the weird bit where you're having to go up the bit and the water's rising. There's like a couple, there's one bit near the end of the level and you have to do this pixel perfect jump. And I'm aware of it from the beginning of the level. I'm going to be like, okay, you need to make that pixel perfect jump near the end before you get to the boss of zone 2. And I don't do it right every single time, even though it's coming. And I get in my head about it. And then sometimes I'll just play it casually and go through it no problem. So clearly, played it too much. That's the problem.
Indeed. Anton is Anton's own worst enemy. Okay, I don't think we've got any reviews this week, so we're feeling very unloved. It makes us very sad and very unhappy when nobody shows us the love. So we would greatly appreciate, in the spirit of giving and season's greetings and festivities and all that stuff, if you wouldn't mind heading over to probably Apple Podcasts is the best place to leave us a review and give us a wonderful glowing review telling us how great we are and how much you love us. We appreciate the fact that Mike isn't here, and let's face it, everyone loves Mike. We're kind of just backing dancers to his main show. He's been away off moving house and having children and doing all kinds of huge, big, momentous life things. He is due to be getting his internet back, I think, in 2 days' time, so he might actually be able to join us for our next show, potentially. But even without him, we would still appreciate a glowing review. In fact, we would appreciate a glowing review despite him and saying how great the show is without him on board, because we could really rub that in. It would get under his skin. It would be wonderful. So, yeah. That would be awesome if you wouldn't mind doing that and helping us out. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. And yeah, that would be much appreciated. It's quite nice. You know, I think sometimes when we're doing this, you know, we're constantly in communication with our patrons through the Discord and all that. But it's quite nice to hear, especially via Twitter and the reviews of the wider community, because we love yous all very much.
There we go. Okay, we have sort of navel-gazed far too much in this episode. Should we get on to talking about some news?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Tell us, the people want to know.
First up this week, Zen Studios and Saber Interactive have announced Circus Electrique, that's how I have deigned to describe it, for Nintendo Switch. It's a new turn-based tactical RPG set in Victorian London, and basically seems to be all about a circus troupe saving the world, or at least saving London, from serial killers. Coming in 2022 at some point, we've not got a definitive date. What do you make of this, Anton?
Yes, you know, the gameplay doesn't appear to be pushing the boat out too far. I think there's quite novel adaptation of the kind of fantastical elements of the circus drawing into combat, which I think is quite interesting. The thing I will be most intrigued to see about this title once it drops in 2022 will be how they characterized all these characters, because, you know, it seems like it's taken itself seriously, but it still has this very fun cast. I think if they can strike a good balance there, it could be quite a fun RPG to go through.
I kind of have the similar opinion, actually. I mean, there's 14 different playable characters in there. That's quite the roster, all sort of unique, different strengths and abilities. There's strongmen, there's fireblowers, there's escape artists. There's the whole gambit of sort of the circus cast, shall we say, are all available to play through this game, and it could make up to a very promising little romp. It's certainly, I like the steampunk aesthetic of it as well. It's an interesting little concept.
Indeed. I really just want to learn more about the story about it and how they've characterised it, because I think the writing will definitely characterise this title. I won't lie, I was a little bit disappointed to see that this was the next title from Saber Interactive, because I know they can do some real big AAA porting, but nonetheless, we can at least count on this having a solid port.
Indeed. This next game should probably irritate me, but it doesn't. So, I mean, everyone knows I like a rant, and I'm one of these people in life that likes things to be kind of the right way. I will line up the pencils on my desk. I like things neat and tidy. I get upset by chaos. So this next game, coming from Max Inferno, called A Little to the Left for the Nintendo Switch, is right up my street. It's basically a game tidying things up. Now, we've had a few games like this recently. We had it was Unpacking, where that was all about sort of putting things in the right place. But this is literally just you get a screen and sort of things are all jumbled up and you have to tidy them up on the screen. Make it neat. That's it. That's the whole game. This is speaking to me and I don't know why.
Yep, and it's been done in like a super gorgeous minimalist style. And it's funny, this is by far the most simple game that we'll be discussing on the show today. However, it is one of the most simply captivating of them all, at least in my eyes. And I am delighted to get my hands on this. And I don't know, I just feel like I could get really much into this, you know, perfect before bed or maybe even right in the morning. I could see this being like a good one to have with your morning cup of coffee. I'm really down. I'm really impressed. It's such a simple idea, but I adore it.
It really is. I mean, just to give you an idea, I was watching the trailer. So the trailer has, it starts off with a squint picture of a cat. You straighten up the picture in the wall. Then it moves to some pencils that you have to straighten out and put into a nice little colour pattern all lined up. Then you've got some tins of soup. You could turn one of the tins of soup so its label faces the same way as the other two. Mm. It's just so simple stuff, but oh, it looks so satisfying.
Yeah, it was the soup that got me. Before I was like, okay, so it's like a point and click adventure and you know, you have to line up the posters and it opens the door. Then it was lining up the soup. I'm like, ah, I know what you're on about. I know the wavelength you're functioning on and I like it.
Some of the simplest things. Okay, the next game is from Studio Pixel. They have announced and released, actually straight away, Cave Story Secret Santa for the Nintendo Switch, but sadly it's in Japan only. Did you ever play Cave Story?
Sadly one I missed out on. I know it's built up or had a really, really good reputation for just being this kind of niche, really good indie title, but you know, we've had a lot of really good indie RPG style things. It kind of has a little bit of Undertale vibes. I love this. I like the idea that it's this big established franchise, at least in the indie sense, with a full just confident soiree into doing a festive title. Disappointed it's Christmas only. I hope within of the next year, for the next holiday festive period, we can see this with an English translation. Because although there is a lot of Christmas and festive titles, I feel like there's a lack of quality ones. And this is an established franchise that is known for good stuff, and I'd love to see it over here.
Indeed. I mean, if you really, really want to go play it, you can go and try and get it from the Japanese Steam shop. Japanese Steam shop? Not Steam. The Japanese eShop. It is doable, but it's kind of complicated, and as Anton said, it's not the English language translation, which actually kind of reminds me, because we got that a little bit. We've talked about this before. I think we had to give a correction as to whether or not you could do that, and so we actually got an email this week, which I completely forgot about at the top of the show, and I'm going to quickly dive in because it's tangentially relevant to this. Last week we were talking about the OLED dock that was for sale. You remember that?
Indeed.
And we were grumping about the fact it didn't come with a back cover and you had to go and pay, I think it was $6.99 for it. We got an email from Sai, one of our listeners, who wrote in to say he's recently got a dock. He bought a dock for upstairs in his house. He did pay 60 quid for it, but he can confirm it does actually come with a back. You can, however, buy additional backs for, in this country, it's $4.49 plus shipping, which I suspect probably adds up to about 7 quid in total. But yeah, if you do buy that dock, it does come with a back, which is quite nice, and I just felt it was relevant to point that out, that we got something wrong. We do correct them when we get them wrong.
Indeed, and absolutely, I think that's a great point to bring up. If you ever have like any additional thoughts or feedback or any corrections, podcasts@nsukp.co.uk, send us a little email, or similarly tweet at us, NSUK podcasts. It's better we know about this stuff than live in lies and wrongness.
Yes, we will eat humble pie and we will we'll retract anything we say that is incorrect. Although, to be fair, that probably means we need to retract most of the show.
Welcome to episode one, just one of the podcast. It's all been wrong this whole time.
Indeed. Well, talking about getting things wrong, Super Nintendo World have been getting a few things wrong recently. I think their Yoshi ride caught fire last month, but they're doing something right this month. They're releasing some limited edition holiday merch, and some of it looks kind of cool.
Yes, it's dumb, it's wholesome. You know, they'll be doing unique and novel things like this to get people in the park as they get into the colder months, and my god, I want those earmuffs so bad. They're so dumb, And
which ones? They've got star ones and they've got mushroom ones. Which ones do you want?
See, it's interesting. I like the mushroom ones because they felt more Mario, but at the same time, I don't want it to be like, I'm off doing shrooms today, which with my long hair, I feel like people could presume. So I think I'm going for the star ones.
And are you going to get the matching mittens and scarf that go with them?
Oh, I thought that was presumed.
You can walk around carrying your nice, I don't even know what it is, but a superstar hot yuzu lemonade. I don't know what... I feel I've eaten yuzu. I feel it might be a fruit, I think.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing this is missing is like a mug cozy, and then we would have been set. But I've got... I'm very curious to see how much... Let's give it like 6 months, 8 months, how much these will all be fetching on eBay. It can only be a life's fortune.
Some people will buy anything. And speaking of people buying anything, God, they're doing so well at these links today. Eat your heart out, Mike. Spiritfarer has sold 1 million copies. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing because Spiritfarer is a great game, but that's a lot of people buying it. Well done, Spiritfarer.
Yeah, I feel like as time goes on, we're just hearing about more and more of these milestone indie titles, which, to be honest, there's a lot of kind of AA and AAA games that would have loved to hit a million sales. And here we have this small indie team making this much income or selling this many games, which them selling this many copies will only go so far. And I'm very excited to what the team can do next as they progress onto their next title with the financial stability they've gained from being so successful. The farewell update looks meaningful and impactful. The updates that they've done before have already been fantastic in terms of expanding on the title. And yeah, just massive congratulations to the team. It's a great game.
It is. To be fair, I've not played that much of it. I started playing it on, I think on Steam, actually. Or no, maybe with Xbox Live or something like that. I tried playing it on and thought, this is really good. And then got distracted by something new and shiny and never went back. I really should. Something else I've not tried, actually, is Pikmin Bloom. But it's got a new update. Have you tried it yet?
I've kind of been like second hand looking over the shoulder of my roommate that's been playing it, and I've been very impressed. I'm like, yes, that's a video game that looks really good. It looks a lot better than Pokemon Go. I just have zero games on my phone. I'm like, I've got a Switch, so I haven't touched it, but I've been impressed by it.
Intriguing. Well, apparently this new update has given it better network usage and a screenshot feature. That feels like something that should probably be in from the get-go, and that something no one will ever probably use.
Yeah, I believe when what it does now is with the AR, if you take a screenshot rather than having all the UI and all that ugly stuff, it instantaneously just removes the UI and puts like a little wee Pikmin Bloom logo for your Twitter and Instagram sharing, which is nice that they've thought about that and included that. They probably saw too many screenshots on social media with all the UI clogging up the screen.
I suppose so. For those of you who can't see me right now, I'm raising my sceptical eyebrow. I do have a very good sceptical eyebrow. In fact, actually, if I raise my left one, it's slightly quizzical. If I raise my right one, it's very sceptical. They do different things.
See, I'm not on your level. I can only raise them both at the same time, so I'm only shocked.
What, you can't raise one eyebrow?
No, I have... especially when I've tried to do any form of acting, I just have zero expression on my face. I can't do a sad face. I can half do an angry face. It sucks.
All right, for the benefit of me and anyone who happens to be actually watching you right now, just raise an eyebrow. See what happens. Oh, they do. They both move at exactly the same amount. Wow. Okay, I've got Mr. Spock eyebrows. I can definitely do them independently. I can even make them do like a little mini Mexican wave.
Wow. This is the best audio podcast we've ever done.
Okay, let's talk about something a little bit more sensible, and it's kind of something that's really cool. For years, I've been really enjoying it when Spotify sends me a sort of a year wrapped up, I think is what they call it, and it tells you about all the artists you've listened to and your favourite artists and the thing you've gone back to and played the most. And funnily enough, our Discord was talking about this. It would be great if Nintendo would do that. And lo and behold, I think literally the next day, emails started dropping into everybody's inboxes saying 2021 year in review, and it gives you all your stats for playing. I have to say, my stats are abysmal in comparison to some of the people in our Discord who have been sort of playing hundreds of games this year. They've completed so many of them. My stats are appalling. Do you want me to read mine out?
I think we should save this for the episode 144 last call, because I think if we can, we'll look and try and get Mike if it's possible, because I think we need somebody to redeem this podcast.
All right, well, in that case, I will give you the days since I began my journey on Nintendo Switch, because it's a respectable 1,610 days since I got my Switch.
Ah, that's good to know. I don't have my numbers to have, but similarly, it was a travesty. It was very embarrassing. I feel like I've disgraced myself. So all that and more on Last Call 144.
Al and Anton get shown up by all the patrons who listen to the show. Oh, dear. Okay, let's move on from the embarrassment. But it is very cool. If you've not had your email from Nintendo, go have a look for it. I presume everybody with Nintendo probably has a Nintendo account. If you have a Nintendo account, you should have got this in your inbox. And yeah, it's good fun. Email us your numbers, actually, even if you're not a patron. podcast@nsukp.co.uk. It would be interesting to know what kind of figures you guys have got. And we can maybe talk about them at some point in the new year. Okay, the newly discovered patents have alluded to gameplay mechanics that are showcased in the new untitled Legend of Zelda sequel. They're kind of cool. What do you make of it?
Yeah, so the trailer didn't really showcase these in depth or highlight them too boldly. But yeah, this is kind of alluding to how the manipulation of time and phasing through objects will work in terms of basically not putting you in dumb places. How you can kind of swoop around the environment to use bows in mid-air. It does appear that this next Legend of Zelda isn't just going to be more, it's going to be expanding the sandbox of tools vastly, and I'm quite excited to see how these mechanics play off other ones. I must confess, I did need to read a description of what these patterns actually meant, because they're a little bit abstract in their illustrations that are released to my eye they were, but promising to see that they have innovation in this title that is worthy of even just patenting because it's so unique in what they're doing.
Indeed. I mean, we have to give credit here to GameReactor.eu, I think, who are the ones who actually found these patents. They've been doing a whole lot of crawling around and dug them out and have brought them to the attention of the world. But yes, exactly as you said there's a couple of really cool and interesting things just to do with making sure you don't end up in dumb places when you phase through things. There's clearly a reversing time mechanic in there, which is... it could be really, really cool when it comes to Zelda dungeons and problem solvings, reversing time. That could be very, very unique. And yeah, I mean, to be fair, patents on game mechanics, it's not really a new thing. It's not something that people tend to get particularly excited about, because it does just tend to be about controlling elements of a game that are maybe unique or have been come up with for a new game. But this is always anything from Nintendo, frankly, it's always going to be the headlines, even if it's a small thing. Remains to be seen how big an impact these particular patents have, but clearly Nintendo thinks they're important enough to warrant patenting them so no one else nicks their ideas. Okay, moving swiftly on, but still talking about Zelda, it's still on track. Apparently it's going to be released in 2022, according to Nintendo.
Indeed, and I don't know, if this game did get delayed to 2023, I don't think I could be happy anymore. You know, I'm just so excited for this game. I think even the idea of what they've shown as just this an DLC is invigorating. But the idea that this is just going to be like 150 hours minimum, I'm just like, yes, that's what I want. That's so good. And it's, you know, a tried and tested engine. They're not doing it for a brand new console. You know, they've had several years to learn and understand what the Switch hardware is capable. They're not working to the limitations of the Wii U. So even if they did just what they did with Breath of the Wild, it would be a fantastic title. And it looks like they're going so much further, as we've just seen with the recent patents.
Indeed. I mean, I suspect they've been working on this probably since 2017. I suspect the day they wrapped up Breath of the Wild, they probably started working on the sequel, because... well, that's the way game development companies tend to work. They knew they'd have a hit. Why would they not just move straight on to the next one? So they've had a lot of time to think and be creative with this one, and it will be fascinating to see what they come up with. And 2022 is not that far away. In fact, when we record, it's, what, less than 2 weeks away. So, yes, it would be nice if we got it earlier in the year, but that's perhaps being a little bit optimistic. Okay, let's talk about Sonic Colors Ultimate, because we know you like Sonic. We know you quite like Sonic Colors Ultimate. It's got a new update. Have you downloaded it?
I have. It's nothing too crazy. I've seen a lot of outlets sharing and, you know, being like, they've updated it because it was a little bit broken at launch. This one's added some shiny shoes. It has been fixed for a wee bit, but I'll take my shiny festive shoes that aren't very festive but are definitely shiny, and I will be happy.
Is that why they call it the celebration update? Because they're giving you shiny shoes?
Yeah, they're shiny gloves as well. So, you know, it's the full ensemble.
That sounds like a proper celebration to me. Okay, Nintendo have, well, this story amused me. They fixed a glitch in Animal Crossing. What was the glitch, Anton?
so basically, with not very well-known circumstances, your villagers would just spawn naked, and you'd just go into a room, and there'd be rooms full of naked villagers. Thankfully, they are just animals and have hair on them, or at least most of them did, so there was nothing to worry about or look at, so at least that was fortunate. But yeah, not very great. A good thing they got it fixed before the Christmas season, and they get a bunch of fresh eyes on their big shiny IP.
Indeed, that just made me smile. I enjoy anything that's vaguely rude, and, you know, naked villagers, that's rude. Snigger. It's a shame we don't have Mike on hand for our next story, actually, because this would have been right up his street. Thalamus Digital have teased that we might be getting Commodore 64 games on the Nintendo Switch. They basically just put up a post the other day which had the nice big Commodore 64 logo on it and said, "We listened." Interesting.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Indeed. So we're definitely getting Commodore 64 games. It's definitely on Switch. I am really excited for this. The 8-bit line of computers of, you know, the 80s through, let's say, kind of round up to like 89-ish, you know, holds a treasure trove of beloved titles that have just kind of been lost and forgotten to time. And for many reasons, you know, one, they're not as accessible as picking up an Atari or an NES, because one, there's multiple parts, they're more likely to be broken, and the load times are very, very challenging by today's eyes. So getting this on a system where, you know, you don't have to learn all the keyboard buttons, you don't have to learn the commands to load them up, and you don't have to deal with the aforementioned issues, I'm very delighted that we're getting a collection like this. And I'm just hoping that, because so many of these titles are, will be, small independent titles, lost IPs that don't have the most commercial interest by comparison to, let's say, a Mega Drive or a SNES collection or even an Atari collection, that we'll be getting a good volume of titles with this collection at a fair price, I hope.
It'll be very interesting to see what games we actually get in the collection. I think it's probably safe to say the one game that I would be most excited about getting from that era is probably not going to be in it. That would be Maniac Mansion, but it was a LucasArts game, so I would doubt very much you would get to see that, but I have fond memories of playing it. Although I don't think it was on a Commodore. I think I played it on someone else. It may well have been a Commodore 64. I don't know.
But only Google will tell. We'll learn one day.
Indeed. Okay, well, you're a fan of the Mega Drive, at least the Mega Drive Online service, and you'll be glad to hear we're getting some new games added to it. We are getting Altered Beast, Toe Jam and Earl, woohoo! Dynamite Heady, Sword of Vermilion, and Thunder Force 2. Which one are you most excited about?
Oh, yeah, I'm really delighted about this news, especially following the recent announcement of Banjo-Kazooie coming to the Switch in, I believe, February next year. And yeah, these are all round a great collection of games. I think I'm most excited for Dynamite Heady. I loved that game as a kid, just a 2D platformer. Really fun. I'm very excited. I'm just hoping to get Rystar soon. That would be another great one. And similarly, I'm chuffed out of all the Thunder Force games that we have got on the Switch. They're kind of top-down spaceship shooters, or at least Thunder Force 2 is. This is the one they went for. This was my favorite of the lot, and you kind of can fly around in any direction. It's not just top down, it's not side scrolling. You can go in all which directions and just shoot away madness. I never got very far in it, but I loved it none the same. And of course, Toe Jam and Earl is a classic.
That was the one I was going to single out from that list as being sort of the game. Toe Jam, I mean, I never had a Mega Drive, but even I was aware of Toe Jam and Earl, and I did always think it looked very cool.
Absolutely, and God, even then, Altered Beasts, I was actually able to get decently far in. So maybe for my modern gaming sensibilities of not being very good at video games, that's maybe the one I should gravitate towards.
Perhaps. Okay, a slightly different one, and a little bit of sad news, really, from Nintendo of America. The Nintendo Minute has ended after 8 years and more than 400 episodes. So for anyone that wasn't aware of the Nintendo Minute, Anton, what was it?
Yeah, so it was just a kind of original YouTube web series that quite often had insights into games, had developers on it, it had early access to stuff like the Switch OLED, the Switch Lite, some limited editions, amiibos, even had some of the big boys like Sakurai and Miyamoto on the show. And it was just like an original YouTube series. And there was two hosts, and yeah, they were the same two hosts throughout the entire series. And yeah, it's coming to an end here, which is very much a shame, especially in the later era of the show where the hosts became a lot more comfortable than they were early on. You know, it had some decent chemistry to it and, you know, interesting insights, especially if they could get developers. But it does seem like, as where digital contents went and where Nintendo shifted across the years, a byproduct of a bygone era in Nintendo, aka the era where they sued every single YouTuber on the planet and only they wanted to make their YouTube.
Yeah, I guess so. It was quite sad. I actually watched the final episode of it, and they were the two hosts were really quite emotional. You could see that they were sort of holding back the sadness of this massive journey they'd been part of coming to an end, because they seemed to really enjoy connecting with the fans. It was actually quite a nice outreach program for Nintendo, but yeah, I suspect it just wasn't getting enough views. People probably forgot it even existed, because it wasn't really something Nintendo publicized that much, to be honest. Unless you'd followed the YouTube, you probably didn't really know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of a shame. I wonder how much notice the team behind it had, because it seemed like, as an episode, just like a normal video for them. It didn't quite have like any fanfare to it, just more like a sad whimper than a hurrah finale.
I kind of got the impression that they were told 2 minutes before recording, by the way, this is your last one.
Yeah, which it's a real shame. I hope there is some form of replacement, or the hosts are able to do further stuff, because they clearly have a passion and a great knowledge of Nintendo.
Indeed. Hold on, wait. Do we have any overlords that might pull the plug on us?
And I am doing it now. No.
No.
We're all good.
Okay, well, in completely different news, we had a Direct this week, of sorts. We had an Indie World Direct, which, to me, it kind of came out of nowhere. The first I knew about it is actually when one of our patrons said, is anyone watching it? Were you aware of it in advance?
I was aware of it, but I had booked Spider-Man tickets for the exact, literally, as it was happening. So I sadly missed this live, which is the first Direct in a long time I've missed live, and we'll go through it and we'll see what we think of it.
Indeed. Well, I've watched it twice, because I was actually working when it was on the first time around. So I had it on in the background, but I maybe saw about a quarter of it while I was actually doing my paid work. So I went back and rewatched it again tonight. So we got, as always, a slew of games, some of which were new, some of which we'd seen before and were giving us little updates. So let's romp through them. The first one we were shown was from Sabotage, who showcased Sea of Stars, the Nintendo Switch, a classic JRPG about eclipse magic, coming out holiday 2022. Thoughts?
Yeah, so this one was, at first I was a little bit critical when I saw the trailer, because it did seem to be like very, very classic 1995 JRPG. However, as the trailer progressed, I think the adaptation of magic, you have two main protagonists, one that controls sun magic and one that controls moon magic, and use the combination of these two protagonists to form these attacks. So the enemy race seems to only be affected by the combination of these two elements. I feel like the combination aspect made me more into the title than I was initially was. It seems very much classic of the era, but done very well, and I think the combination mechanic, if emphasized, has me intrigued.
Yeah, I have to say I'm always kind of smitten by these games that have this visual aesthetic, because I have a soft spot for that kind of JRPG. I remember playing things like Secret of Mana back in the days on the SNES, I guess it would have been, and this does just sit quite nicely with me and did look like it would be quite a good fun little wee addition to our ridiculously large library of JRPGs that we have on the Switch. Hopefully it can stand out. The next game they showed us came from Underscore, who showcased Alicia for the Nintendo Switch, a co-op puzzle game coming out in spring 2022. Beautiful, there's no question about it. It was gorgeous and very much reminded me of Breath of the Wild. Cell-shaded styles, lots of puzzles, lots of runes, just Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild. Did you take anything different from that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think Breath of the Wild on a slightly smaller scale with, a slightly more emphasized cell shading, and with the co-op aspects. The puzzles seem very abstract despite its very kind of grounded, your on-ground vibes. You know, it's very much looking up into, you know, looking at things from certain perspectives. And I didn't quite get a full grasp of what the puzzles entail, but overall, as a package, it looks very well done, and I hope we get like a gameplay trailer in future.
Yes, I imagine we might do. The next one actually does look ridiculously good fun. I have to say it tickled my fancy. So Robust Games and Chucklefish showcased Locomotive for a Nintendo Switch, a point-and-click murder mystery coming out in September 22, and it was very much tongue-in-cheek and not taking itself seriously. It was gorgeous, proper pixel art fun, in my opinion. What did you think of it?
Indeed, I'm completely with you. I do believe this is Robust Games' debut outing as a developer, and I think they've done a very, very good job. I found the writing and the characters incredibly charming. The trailer is opened by a monologue from the recently deceased, prompting us into what this story is. You know, everybody is on a train. One person has killed, and you need to figure out who it is before you get to the destination of the train line. And I think that time pressure to the game could add a level of intensity. And, you know, it's not like you're just out in the middle of nowhere, but you're secluded with a deadline. And I think that is quite nice. It's not an arbitrary, like, the phones are down. You know, you need to figure out who's done this murdering before you get to the end of the line so you can hand them over to the authorities. Nice setup. Well done.
Could not agree more. It did look very good. The next one, Fellow Traveller and Piconesia showcased Afterlove EP for the Nintendo Switch, which is kind of described as a story-based rhythm title. I really struggled to wrap my head around it and get engaged exactly what was going on with this. I suspect it will appeal to a lot of people. Sort of a story about a musician in a sort of pastely kind of world. They reminded me, I think it was from the same people that made, oh, what was that coffee house game recently? Actually, you mentioned it in the trailer.
Coffee Talk?
Yes, that's the one, Coffee Talk. Same folk that made that. I could not wrap my head around it. Did you manage to interpret any more than I did?
I'm on the same wavelength as you. It kind of feels like a pointing, I mix it up, like an RPG-ish, but the battles are swapped out with rhythm minigames. I'm a little bit lost, but the packaging of this title looks good. I really do like the wandering around and chatting to bit people elements. I'm a bit lost in this one, truthfully. I think it looks good, but that's all I can really say.
Fair enough. Majaja then, I think that's how you pronounce them anyway, Majaja, showcased Dungeon Munchies, a food-based dungeon crawler. I mean, we got all sorts in this one. And this was different. Slay bosses and then cook them into, I think, maybe weapons or abilities to help beat the next level.
Yeah, you know, this one I really wanted to like it, but I just couldn't get into it. I think just the visual aesthetic wasn't quite there. The battling and the combat didn't look quite as robust as I would have hoped. I do like the mechanic of, I guess it's kind of, it's just crafting from the resources you've gotten from your victims, but kind of a more intriguing package. I'm not quite captivated by this title, sadly.
But Anton, it has a necro chef. How could you not like it?
I do like the name. I'll give it that.
Okay, let's move on from that one. Let's talk about Bedtime Digital Games, who showcased Figment 2 Creed Valley, which again is described as a musical puzzle combat game coming out in February, but this one actually gets a free demo that is out now.
Indeed, this one, admittedly from the trailer, admittedly did have good music. I wouldn't have looked at it and thought it was a rhythm game or had musical elements to it. So I'm very excited and intrigued to see how that plays into the game, even though I have zero sense of rhythm. But fortunately for us, we do have a demo, so this might be one to squeeze in during the holiday period.
Yeah, I really struggled to see where the rhythm bit came in. I mean, the trailer itself, or rather their bit in the indie showcase, basically had the producer, director... coder, I don't know who he was, but he basically wandered through his office having a bit of a monologue, picked up a guitar, walked outside, started singing, and then transitioned into the song in the game. Clearly music is very important in this game, but the video that we saw of it just seemed to be some music playing over some action. It didn't seem to be related to a beat or rhythm in any way, but maybe we were missing something. It's probably worth going and having a look and see if you can find the demo for Figment 2 Creed Valley, and let us know what you think of it. podcast@nsukp.co.uk or tweet us @NSUKpodcast. Oink Games then showcased Let's Play Oink Games for the Nintendo Switch, which is out now, and I mean, I don't really know what to say about this, Anton.
Yeah, so Oink Games is a creation company that makes a bunch of very niche board games, and from what I've heard, they are very good board games, very clean, very simple, no gimmicks, no fuss. They just make good board games and they're not tied into any big franchise, and this is a great accessible way to get access to them. As a package, it looks a little bit simplistic, but I guess leveraging their own IP, I give this a thumbs up just for the name alone. I think more companies should just name their game Let's Play and then the name of the company, Let's Play Activision. I would be on board.
It's a way to go. I can't really argue with that. Sure, you're right. It does. It's very, very simple visuals. And if they are based on real-world games, which clearly they are, they're probably actually very, very good. But I don't really see the point in getting it on Switch when you just go and buy the actual real game. And they haven't really, from what I can see, added anything to the gameplay by moving it into the virtual world. It's literally just the games in the rawest sense, which, I don't know, it just feels a bit weird to me, but hey, this might turn out to be a great party game. We might all suddenly love this and think it's the best thing since sliced bread. I wouldn't mind giving it a go. I will probably get the demo and see what it's all about. No, it's not a demo for this one, is there? Damn
no. I think they've got to be careful not to step on 52 Worldwide Classics toes. I think if they get up in the £30 territory, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. So I hope it's been priced appropriately.
Well, it's out now. I was trying to find the price for it, actually, but when you try and load the eShop in Safari, it refuses to give you prices. You need to do it in Chrome, and I'm not in Chrome, which is unhelpful. So go find out what the price is for yourself. Let us know. Podcast that. Moving on. Hero Beat Studios have showcased Endling Extinction is Forever on the Nintendo Switch, a Fox Adventure survivalist game coming out in spring 2022, which is very much pro-Fox and anti-human. It looks adorable. The visual aesthetic is, again, kind of cel-shaded, but very, very pretty. But I could not help looking at it and going, wait a minute, we've seen this. Is this not the first tree? Because they looked kind of identical.
Yeah, we've seen a couple Fox-based, cel-shaded, survive-the-wilderness games already, which is a very niche genre to get duplicates of. This one, I don't know if it's the voiceover or if it is just kind of part of the game, but felt a little bit blunt in its message. Like, I get the environmental themes, but it just seemed like it was very much, that was the whole game. So I'm hoping the actual gameplay is a little bit captivating. I thought the the importance on ensuring the survival of your young quite important. And I think for a game that is so pro-nature, I do appreciate that they are open about the idea that, yeah, they are actively predators and you will be killing other young animals, as that is part of the nature, the cycle of nature. And I've seen a couple titles shy away from that and being like, they're all best friends in nature. This one's very much like, nah, you're going to be killing some rabbits.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. That's an excellent point. Well, I think until now, every game we've looked at has been new, but the next one wasn't. We've seen the next one before. So Roll 7 showed us a bit more of Olly Olly World for Nintendo Switch, coming out in February the 8th now, apparently, with pre-orders, well, open. You quite liked the idea of this, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, Olly Olly World, or Olly Olly 2, was a very well done and refined title. And really built upon to just polish what they did with Olly Olly. And Olly Olly World, despite the title, is very much a constant evolution of that. It's not throwing everything away, but it is building upon it to incredibly high extremes. It's an incredibly refined and polished implementation of a very simple adaptation of a skateboarding game. This is very much like, we aren't going for the big AAA experience or going for anything super crazy. Like, we've got Skater XL, which has been on the calendar for millennia, coming to Switch some point in the future, and, you know, stuff like Skateboard. But this is like, we're doing a very simple 2D skateboarding game, and we're just going to do it better than anybody ever could and will. And I just really appreciate the level of quality they're going for. Like, it's quality over all everything. It just really looks refined, and I'm impressed.
Well, if you are as interested as Anton, you can go and pre-order that now. Way Forward then showcased us River City Girls 2 for the Nintendo Switch, coming out in September next year, which, from what I gather, is basically Streets of Rage with Japanese schoolgirls.
Yeah, you know, this, I guess, you know, it is exciting, but it is kind of, we've seen this style of game before. I'm not too sure what this one's doing more outside of doing more. And I think it'll be a brilliant game, but it's not going to be reinventing the wheel. So I would say possibly pick up the first River City Girls. If you like that, you'll love River City Girls too.
Indeed. We then got a bit of a montage, and everybody loves a montage. Me especially, because montages make me think of Rocky. So, best way to handle this, I will just read through everything that was in the montage, and then you can tell me what stood out to you. So, in our montage, we had Parkasaurus coming out in Spring 2022, Don't Starve Together, Spring 2022, Chicory, A Colourful Tale, which is out now, Baby Storm, which is coming out the 21st of January, Grime, which is coming out in Summer 22, Gerda, A Flame in the Winter, 2022, and Timely, which is out now with a demo, and the last one they showed us was Behind the Frame, The Finest Scenery, Spring 2022. Did anything stand out to you?
Yeah, a couple ones in there. Gerda, A Flame in Winter, looked quite charming and quite grounded in its vulnerability of people. And, you know, I am delighted. Admittedly, this kind of extends to the PC and other console versions of it. I feel like it should have been just part of the base title, but Don't Starve Together, the co-op version of Don't Starve. I still wish it was part of Don't Starve and shouldn't have been a separate game. But I'm excited to see it, because Don't Starve's great, and I imagine doing it with friends is equally as good. I haven't done it co-op. I have played the single-player one, and Minecraft co-op is good. Don't Starve co-op good. Maybe. I presume so. They shouldn't be charging extra money for it if it's not.
So says Anton. I have to say, I quite like the look of Parkasaurus, mostly because it basically takes my love of games like Theme Park and adds dinosaurs to them. When I'm basically just thinking, I can create Jurassic Park here. I can create my own little dinosaur park, have the dinosaurs run rampant and tear up and eat all my park goers. That looked like it could be quite amusing.
It's basically a win-win situation for you. You either win the game or you lose and win.
Exactly. There is no bad situation there. I have to say, Baby Storm, I was rather underwhelmed by. It just looked like yet another of these kind of slightly Carnage-based multiplayer top-down. I kind of fell asleep watching it, and it was only on for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, the rest of them didn't quite jump out too much to me, which, thank God, they were in the montage.
Indeed. The last thing they showed us, there just one more thing, was from Omocat LLC, and they showcased Omori, which is coming to the Switch, which is basically, it's a bit like, well, Anton has described it here, it's an Earthbound style, coming out in spring 2022. It came out in December of 2020 on PC to overwhelmingly positive reviews. In fact, so positive on Steam, I'm looking at the moment, they've got more than 26,000 positive reviews. I don't think I've ever seen that many positive reviews on Steam before for anything.
Indeed. This has been a game I followed the Kickstarter of it. I saw it come to PC and the vast amounts of praise that it got. I sadly was a little bit too late to jump in there with the Kickstarter. And I've just been in love with everything they've shown of it. It is all done with by basically eight artists. It's done the visual aesthetic, the music, the gameplay, the story. It's this big, all-encompassing vision, and it's got some mature themes in there with this charming, kind of Earthbound-esque aesthetic with pastel colours. I love the music of it especially. I am very excited to get my hands on it. It feels whole. It feels like a singular vision in a way Undertale felt like a singular vision, and I've been craving another title that has had that degree of unified vision, and I'm very excited to see what the bolder themes are about.
So, yeah, safe to say, you're quite excited. Oh well, spring next year, you can get your hands on it and play through it on the Switch. And that was pretty much the end of Indie World, and it brings us to the end of the news. I think it's probably time to jump straight into a nice deep pool of rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Okay, so, there's actually, over the last few weeks, I don't think we've even bothered having rumours, because there haven't been any. But this week, we've got tons! The rumours section is bulging, Anton. I can see things sticking out of it. It's that full of rumour.
Indeed. I think all the companies are starting to get geared up for 2022 now. We're in a little slump where they're like, why bother with January? Now we're getting into the preparations for summer, and that's where we get the fun rumours.
Indeed. Well, I've got to say, the first rumour actually feels a little bit late to the party, because we've recently had Ghostbusters Afterlife in the cinema, which, by the way, is a cracking movie. If you've not seen it, it is wonderful. It made me a very happy man watching that. I'm not going to say any more. But actor Ernie Hudson, who played Winston Zeddemore in the original Ghostbusters movie, has been saying that there's definitely a new Ghostbusters game happening, which is good news because the last one was superb.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if it borrows inspirations from that, I say original, that kind of 2009 game, or if it's going to be completely fresh, because that one was incredibly well regarded when it came out.
I mean, I've played through it twice. It's not often I play through games twice. I know Mike has played through it at least once, if not twice as well. It was so well done. It was so faithful to the original Ghostbusters look, feel, IP. It had all the original cast in it. It was such an exquisite game. I hope if they do another one in a similar vein, they can pull it off. But it would be quite nice to see them do something completely different. I'm guessing if they've got the voice of Ernie Hudson in it, that's a good start.
Yeah, they can do an Afterlife 2 mixed in with more of the original cast. That could be a fun one.
That could be indeed. All right, well, that was our first rumour. That one did make me happier. Second rumour, it comes, well, I'm going to say courtesy of Square Enix, but kind of is. They've registered a trademark for something called GEX or GEX. What does that mean, Anton?
GEX is a ridiculous title of the late 90s. It was, I guess, I don't think it was done by Eidos, I believe, so they were off doing Tomb Raider and other stuff at the time, so very talented developers of that era. And it is their adaptation of a 2D or a 3D platforming mascot character. So this was their competitor to the Crash Bandicoots, the Marios, and the Sonics of the world. GEX is novel for having very much a pop culture sense of humor, very referential. And if you go back to the GEX games now, it's just making these very, very out of date 90s references with no shame, and I love that. And I would love to see GEX come back, because it is just these awful references and one liner after one liner after one liner. People critiqued the game because he wouldn't be quiet, because he just kept on making one liner jokes the entire game. And I feel like we need to get some updated references, I think, especially now that we've got self-referential humor has came back, or is so prominent right now. I feel like this would be the perfect time for like a meme Gex. Get some memes in there. I would love it, even if it's bad memes and cringe. That's part of Gex's character. He's all day. He doesn't have good one-liners. That's part of Gex, and I love him for that.
It's funny, actually. Although I was sort of reading out going GEX earlier on, I did Google it, and I looked and went, I remember that character. I never played the games, but I just remember thinking that the character looked cool at the time. It just, the artwork, the expression that they managed to draw onto that, basically that gecko, I guess, was just so good. And you could see, even just from the artwork in the box, how stupid and brilliant the game was. And yeah, I suspect I probably wouldn't get any of the current pop culture references if they jammed onto a new one, because as old and I don't pay attention to what young people does on Tinterets and whatnot, I don't really know what a meme is. Vague idea.
You know, I think where Gex went wrong originally is they expected people to laugh along with Gex. But where they went wrong is the game's a lot more fun when you laugh at Gex. And I think that's where they need to take the next one.
Exactly. I completely agree. Well, hopefully we do get one. There's a reason Square has registered that trademark. We'll find out shortly. The creator of Cruisin' Blast has shared that they would love to see the N64 trilogy on N64 Online. Now, do you think this is just their call to Nintendo going, give us some money, put our game on your platform, please?
I think it is indeed. I remember a couple years back, they were like, it would be nice to do a remastered trilogy. And, you know, somebody clearly gave them money, because then they went off to do the fourth game in the franchise, which, from what I've heard, is fairly good. And I would really like these games on the N64 Online, because they're short, quick burst arcade racers. You know, they're not put several hundred hours into type games, or even 10-hour sort of games. I think they would work much better as just, you've got them for free as part of the subscription, and you can just play a little bit of them here and there, than I would want to pay like £20-30 for, you know? So I would love to see these make their way onto the N64 Online.
That sounds awesome. I've said this last rumor, I have no idea what it means, but Bandai have registered a trademark for a Klonoa Fantasy Reverie series in the UK. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the key word in there is Klonoa. What are all those other words means, no idea. This is prominent because last month we got a leaked trademark in Japan for a Klonoa Encore. So clearly Bandai Namco has something planned for the Klonoa franchise. Klonoa, if you're not familiar, is a classic, cult classic 2.5D platformer from the PlayStation 1 era. Incredibly beloved, despite coming out at a time where people didn't want to play 2D games. People wanted full-fat 3D games on the PlayStation 1, and this was one of the best 2D platformers of its time, and sadly got neglected during its era. And I feel like in 2021 this game is ready and would thrive with a remake or remaster, and it appears Bandai Namco has something cooking in terms of a new Klonoa title.
Excellent. That does sound you cleared that up nicely. Thank you very much. Hopefully that made sense to everybody else, because, well, I get it. If you don't, you must be a dum-dum. Can I call listeners dum-dums? I don't think I can I?
I'm sure you can. You can technically call whoever you want a dum-dum. That's your own civil duty right there. You can go ham.
That's true. If you want to complain about me calling you a dum-dum, write to us, podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Tweet, I would say at me, but I don't read them. Tweet Anton and Mike on
at NSUK Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. And for clarification, I do not think you're a dum-dum. Signed, love, Anton.
Exactly. Have we got any new reviews out on YouTube this week?
We do. We have a Untitled Goose Game review by the one and only Louise. So do check that out. I believe the URL for that is Nintendo Switch UK Podcast, because that's what they gave me. So that's our URL on YouTube now. Actually just got that this week. And yeah, this is the last podcast of the year. It's just me, so we can't do a quiz, but I guess, what do we do?
That's an excellent question. At the moment, you're winning. So, I mean, I could declare you the winner, but I do feel that I should at least give Mike some opportunity to defend himself. So we'll maybe see if we can squeeze in maybe something in our awards series. Maybe I give out the award for the winner in that show. Oh, that's what we'll do.
That's very smart.
I think it's the first year, actually, we've done a whole year of quiz. I think in previous years it's kind of jumped backwards and forwards a couple of times during the year.
And nobody's kept track of it. But you're very smart and talented, so you have kept track of it. So kudos to you.
Thanks. I'm not a dum-dum.
No. See, no dum-dums around.
No dum-dums. See, nobody's a dum-dum would listen to this. Only clever, smart people listen to this show, let alone people who make it. So
yeah, I guess as this is the final of Season 3, I guess we should signpost to where you should head. If you're looking for a whole bunch more content to listen to during the holiday season, do highly recommend going to our Patreon area. If you want to learn more about that, please go to nsuk.com/support-us. Over there we do Last Call, where we talk nonsense. We do Roundup, where we go through the games of the fortnight and games that you should be looking forward to, new noteworthy. We also do The Prequel, which is a great one to revisit as the episodes don't age, as we go through basically every single retro console on the planet one by one. We've currently done 40 episodes. It's not in order, so we jump around so you get a good mix of every era. We do Expansion Chat, where we get together and play games. There's show notes, there's the Discord, there's everything on there. And we even have a little wee mug club where we do not only mugs, including beanies, which were very cool to get our hands on.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. It is very, very fun, and we do appreciate all the support we get from all our patrons who support us financially by making this show. And when you pay for all our costs, we don't make anything. We take all the money that we get from the show and basically put it back into the show by buying beanies and fun stuff and sending them back out again. But we also appreciate anyone who just listens. If you just download us and listen to us, we love you too. Thank you so much for supporting us for the last couple of years, and we will see you next year. But in the meantime, there will be an awards show coming out at some point. Keep your eyes peeled and vote. nsukp.co.uk/awards. I think on that note, it's probably time for us to sign off, Anton. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Cheerio.
Au revoir.